Hello and welcome to this episode of the EMG Health Podcast. My name is Dr. Julianne Locke and today's podcast will address the question, are we failing our patients? Why sex and gender matter in psoriasis management? This educational podcast has been fully sponsored by UCB and the content does not necessarily reflect the views of UCB. In this podcast, we will explore the role that sex and gender play in psoriasis and why women with psoriasis have different needs. We will discuss why further research may be needed to understand the implications of these potential differences to improve the management and treatment of psoriasis. Finally, we will consider how and why dermatologists and healthcare professionals should explore many aspects of the life of a psoriasis patient to personalise treatment and to ensure the best possible outcomes. To discuss the implication of differences in sex and gender on psoriasis patients and clinician considerations, I am joined by Professor Katrina Ryan. Professor Ryan is a consultant dermatologist. She has a clinical practice at the Institute of Dermatologists in Dublin, which she co-founded in 2019, and is an associate clinical professor at University College Dublin. Professor Ryan has a considerable interest in medical education, particularly with regard to psoriasis. Professor Ryan, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Julianne. Thanks so much for having me. I'm very excited that we're actually exploring on this podcast today.
I suppose that's a good start. So let's dive straight into your speciality, which is dermatology, and in this case, more specifically in psoriasis. So how does sex and or gender impact on the diagnosis and progression of this disease?
Well, Julianne, I suppose gender medicine has really only come to the fore in the last decade. So unfortunately, we don't have all that much data. Historically, you know, research was focused more on males, but we all know men and women are not the same. We have different cells, you know, from the very start. So there's lots of different influences at play when you look at men and women and disease states and you know, response to treatment, psychological effects, and even their manifestations. I suppose there's two aspects to this, Julianne. There's, you know, sex in a biological sense, so looking at genetics, epigenetic phenomenon as well to do with imprinting, and then hormonal influences, and all of these are at play. But on top of that, there's gender, you know, and the social impacts that has as well in medicine. So different behaviors of the patient, different behaviors of their doctors, and then different behaviors of society as well. So all of the psychosocial impacts that we see. So things are not the same for men and women when it comes to disease states, and that goes for psoriasis as well.
I suppose you just touched on something there. Like, so genetically, we see differences in epigenetics, and also then in terms of social constructs around gender. Like, specifically, what differences do we see between males and females in terms of like manifestation of psoriasis, and also what are the impacts then of like social constructs, you know, and social expectations as well?
That's a huge question. Biologically, we're seeing differences in gene expression, epigenetic phenomena, and then also all the hormonal influences that we see throughout our life. I suppose when it comes to you know, psoriasis in particular, looking at the biological differences, first of all, some studies have shown an earlier onset of disease in females. And what's interesting, that females also have a peak in their sixth decade, and that may easily correlate with menopause. And that just shows that the role that hormones may have in psoriasis and in its expression. We see in the vast majority of our female patients, psoriasis often worsens dramatically in the postpartum period. So hormones certainly have a role there as well. We see more severe disease in men. And then the impact of gender is huge as well. You know, the behavior of our patients, their care utilization, their adherence to treatment, very different between females and men. We typically see better adherence to treatments in females. And then the psychosocial impacts. We see more depression and anxiety in women, more psychological distress. Coping mechanisms are very different between females and males. So women often have more distress. There's the sexual impacts, and we see that very differently between males and females as well. And then I suppose us as physicians, dermatologists, primary care physicians, how we treat the disease. And, you know, we certainly treat females differently to males, particularly of when they're of childbearing age. So there's a huge impact of all of these different things in women with psoriasis compared to men.
Exactly. It's not just a simple male-female divide. It's all these other impacts like, you know, social factors and things that have to go into it as well. So you mentioned there particularly about women of childbearing age. So what considerations should there be around sex and gender, particularly for women of childbearing potential, I suppose, in the treatment and management of patients?
Well, I suppose the biggest thing is, you know, in women who are of childbearing age, there's certain drugs that are not compatible with pregnancy. And one of the big issues, Julianne, is that 50% of pregnancies are unplanned. So you have to address contraception and whatnot with that patient. But a lot of physicians will avoid it altogether. There are certain drugs that aren't suitable. And then, of course, and then with biologic agents, very few dermatologists use them when a patient is pregnant. Because of fears, we all fear something happened to a woman during pregnancy. But it's not just the physicians that play a role in this. Patients, you know, women feel guilty if they're taking anything systemically during their pregnancy. You know, women are very selfless when it comes to their pregnancies, and all they care about is the safety of the baby. So when they are not sure, you know, they don't want to take a treatment. You know, and that's understandable. I have friends who wouldn't even drink Coke when they were pregnant. So there's all of that at play as well. And then we've even seen differences, you know, in the way physicians will prescribe women who aren't planning pregnancy. So, you know, for fear of them getting pregnant. So it's a complex thing. And it's not just physician behavior, it's patient behavior as well.
And I suppose that brings me on to something that's quite interesting, that women with psoriasis tend to have less children than, you know, age matched within the rest of the population. Do you think part of that is this worry about foregoing treatment, or do you think that there's other maybe issues around family planning or intimacy, or, you know, what do you think are at play in that?
Oh, all of the above. You know, and it doesn't surprise me that women with psoriasis have less children or don't go on to have children, especially if their psoriasis isn't addressed at an early age. We know that, you know, more and more we learn about cumulative life impairment and the impact if psoriasis isn't addressed early on. You know, in at such, you know, the onset is typically in your second or third decade, and that's such a formative time in people's lives, who they become, you know, how confident they are, what careers they go on to develop, and the impact of psoriasis can be huge there when it comes to psychosocial interactions. I think a huge issue is intimacy, that women don't get into these relationships, you know, with a life partner, or maybe not even a life partner in the first place. It's, you know, really upset me so many times when I've had women come to me and they've had psoriasis for, say, 10 years or so, and I've been given cream after cream after cream, you know, topical preparations, when they are completely deserving of systemic treatment. And, you know, we put them on whatever treatment it may be, and their psoriasis clears, and they arrive back to me 6 weeks later. And I've seen it happen several times now, just, you know, absolutely, you know, delighted, obviously, but so emotional, crying and crying and crying that they haven't taken off their clothes, you know, in the last 10 years in front of anyone, because they're so embarrassed, they're so ashamed, you know, and it's life-changing when you can make that difference, you know, at that point. So I think, first of all, women shy away from relationships, and they have been shown to feel more stigmatized by their psoriasis and whatnot too. There are so many studies that show a decrease in intimacy in patients, both women and men, who have psoriasis, and that will impact things too. I've heard patients say that they're afraid that if they have children, they'll pass it on to their children. You know, so, and hopefully it doesn't happen too often. But I think some women, you know, especially those with very severe psoriasis, choose not to have children. Another impact is having to come off their medications, you know, if they do want to become pregnant. So I think all of these things play a role. I've done a lot of work in the area of genital psoriasis, and about a third of patients have genital psoriasis at any particular time, but two thirds of them have had it at some stage. And in our research looking at the impact of genital psoriasis in patients, Men have it a little bit more frequently, but when women have it, it impacts on them much more than it impacts on men. So the frequency of every symptom was actually higher, but particularly pain, burning, and discomfort during sex. So sex is uncomfortable. Their psoriasis gets worse after having sex, so they avoid it. You know, it showed with, you know, in both men and women, it decreased sexual functioning. So I think that's really important as well. You know, if somebody has psoriasis in the genital area, they will shy away from having sex. It is so complex, but it doesn't, you know, the statistic doesn't surprise me at all.
And so do you think this is a conversation dermatologists should be having with their psoriasis patients, that they should be exploring intimacy, you know, discussing maybe more than topical treatments for genital psoriasis, particularly with the psychological impacts it's having on women?
Absolutely, but it's something we're not good at. You know, and it's something, you know, whenever I give a talk, I'll tell, you know, one of my messages I'm trying to impart is to ask your patient. You know, simply ask your patient, you know, how is this impacting on you? Is it impacting on your relationship? You know, do you have genital psoriasis is the obvious question as well when it comes to that side of things. But, you know, we're so lucky now, Julianne, in this day and age that we have such amazing drugs that can, you know, clear or almost clear nearly all of our patients. You know, I mean, and I'm talking about the people with severe disease. So my biggest hope is that they get to the dermatologist in the first place, you know, access to care, you know, and I think, you know, a lot of patients don't go and seek that care, or they're fed up of going to see the primary care physician and getting the same tube of ointment. So we don't get to see them in the first place. Or they feel like, you know what, you know, this is a skin condition, you know, I'm being very vain. It's just cosmetic. I need to put up with it. You know, they don't understand that psoriasis goes so much further than the skin, you know, that it can affect the joints, causes systemic inflammation, that it has all of these other comorbidities, and that it can have such a detrimental impact on their mental health and their quality of life and the way they interact with society.
It's quite interesting that we've kind of started to go down this road. And it brings us, I suppose, overall to looking at treating a patient. So how is it then that clinicians can ensure that they consider sex and gender when assessing and treating patients? And when you have female patients, like, what's your personal approach?
Well, I think it's easier for me because I am a female, and I wonder if that's why I see more, you know, if female patients opt to go to a female dermatologist sometimes. But I discuss it from the outset, especially in women with, you know, moderate to severe psoriasis when it's affecting a good part of their body. But even in those who have very little psoriasis, I don't mean very little, but, you know, I often say that, you know, somebody can have 10% involvement and it be on their trunk. But if they have 1% involvement, and that impacts them, but they could have 1% of body surface area involvement. And if that's in the middle of their face, or if that's their genitalia, it can have a much bigger impact on their quality of life. So I talk to everyone. I think the biggest thing is the question, how is this affecting you? And I think open questions like that really help us with women and with men. And then, you know, asking sort of, you know, the questions, you know, does taking off your clothes bother you? Is it impacting your relationship? And I always have the discussion ahead of time, you know, in any adult woman, you know, from 18 on, that this is something that we can control and plan for even when they're pregnant. And I think that's really, really important. So they're not fearing, oh my God, you know, when I decide to have kids, I'm going to have to come off this and my psoriasis will all be back again. That we have ways to look after their psoriasis, that none of these things should be an obstacle for them.
And do you think that there's, like, are you seeing differences in the way that the sexes present? And do you think that we should be maybe asking different questions of different sexes to, like, should we be using different patient reported outcomes? Should clinicians be considering more the impact of sex and gender in terms of quality of life as well?
So we do see the, you know, the differences in the age of onset and differences with hormonal influences getting worse after having a baby, better when having a baby and whatnot too. There's those sort of epidemiological phenomenon. It's equal in men and women. There's certain types of psoriasis that are much more common in women. So palmoplantar pustulosis, you see this 9 times more commonly in women than in men. And generalized pustular psoriasis, you see double as many women as males with that disease. There are small nuances that we see that are different, but I think often the coping behaviors, you know, that the impacts of the disease on stress in women, you know, they seem to suffer from more depression, anxiety. Comorbidities are very important too. You know, as all dermatologists are aware, patients with psoriasis have a higher risk of having cardiovascular disease, hypertension, diabetes. And these are all comorbidities that also are expressed differently in men and women. So when exploring those areas, I think it very, very important as well. We've seen, you know, slight differences in the presentation of psoriatic arthritis in our patients with psoriasis as well. So again, but, you know, an equal number of males and females having joint involvement. But the patterns of joint involvement seem to be different in males and females. Polyarthritis and more swollen joints is seen in women, while men are more likely to present with oligoarthritis and more likely to have axial involvement. Women seem to suffer more with psoriatic arthritis. It seems to impact them more when it comes to quality of life, you know, limitations in function, work disability and whatnot too. So there are certainly different nuances of disease. But I suppose the important thing is more how we manage men and women, and should our management be different when it comes to psoriasis treatment. And I think one of the really important things is looking at responses to treatment, side effects of treatment, and how well different agents do in men versus women. It's something we're not doing very well right now. You know, gender medicine hopefully is going to become more and more important through all aspects of medicine, but really examining females and males, you know, examine everyone together, but always segregating data as well to see if there are, you know, certain signals that show up. I think it's very, very important that we focus on mental health in women, because there is no question, you know, women seem to be much, you know, impacted much more by their psoriasis consistently. When we look at, you know, the patient reported outcomes that you're talking about, we see that women for the same severity of psoriasis will consistently report worse impact on quality of life. So it's impacting women often more than men. Women don't seem to have as good coping strategies when it comes to psoriasis. They definitely have more anxiety. So those sort of things are really important to address as well with your patient. Now, I don't mean neglect those things in men, but to have a very low threshold with women when it comes to these things as well. And I think talking about, you know, sexual functioning and whatnot too, very, very important.
And so it's quite interesting there, because you were saying, you know, there does need to be more research, more use of these registries, more recording of adverse events. Are there other things from a research point of view that you think, you know, researchers and clinicians and the dermatologists can do to improve the way they manage and treat patients?
You know, I think, you know, with the advent of the biologic treatments, we are offering women, you know, the same spectrum as men. I think it's more our behaviors we should be looking at, and patient behaviors, because I think that this is where we can make the biggest changes, particularly when it comes to women of childbearing age, because, you know, there is a hesitancy in it. It's been shown in studies that dermatologists are very hesitant to treat women in that women who are open to getting pregnant, who are planning pregnancy, who are pregnant, and whatnot too. So education around that area and good science and data around that area as well.
I suppose for you, where do you feel the field of gender medicine is going? Like, what's exciting you most? What do you think is just away on the horizon, maybe sort of within catching distance, or which is over the horizon and will be with us in the next 10 years?
Well, you know, I'm delighted that the regulatory agencies really have put a push on making sure that everyone was represented in clinical trials. You know, in the past, up to the 1980s or so, it was all men pretty much that we looked at drug used in clinical trials, even preclinical trials. It was male cells and male mice. So we had all of this data on efficacy and safety that was only relevant to men. And we were extrapolating out from that things will be as good and as safe in women, when actually, we are very different in some ways, particularly with cellular, when it comes to the impact of genetics and hormones and whatnot too. So the fact that this has been addressed by the regulatory agencies and now we see equal distribution in clinical trials, I think is fantastic. I think the next step that we've seen lately is that transgender patients are being represented there too. You know, I think all genders need to be represented in our clinical trials when it comes to efficacy and safety and working out the nuances of these newer treatments when it comes to our patients. So I would love to see that this is something that even journal editors would request when it comes to publication of results, teasing out differences between genders there too. So, I think our research is becoming much more transparent, and I'm delighted about that. And I just think gender medicine is a field that's growing. I really, really welcome that.
So thank you so much to Professor Katrina Ryan for this informative discussion on the considerations around sex and gender that clinicians should consider when treating psoriasis. So with the rise of personalised medicine, and I suppose with this move towards gender medicine as well, it is vital that more research is done in this area to ensure treatment and management is tailored based on both genetic, epigenetic and social factors. I mean, for me, I find it quite interesting that we must consider women's intimate lives, how the impact of their psoriasis may be affecting their family planning. And I think, as Professor Ryan said, it's very important that clinicians have those conversations with patients and with female patients, look around the mental health aspects as well, especially around the increased comorbidity of anxiety and depression in psoriasis patients. It is important to look at all of that. So remember to visit our archive for plenty great podcasts covering many health related issues. For now, though, stay safe and stay well. And I hope to have you back again on the EMG Health Podcast very soon. Bye for now.